Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update, where we're going to take you through the main stories of the day. So coming up before 5.30, a report calls for Manx Care to ensure prison healthcare staff are suitably competent to care for acutely ill patients. We'll also have more details about what's behind cervical screenings being offered every 5 years instead of three for some women. Liberal Vannin has some strong words about Treasury's proposed healthcare levy. And why did Peter Rabbit get a mention in the House of Keys this week? All that, and we'll keep an eye on the traffic and travel as well as the weather. It's a bit rainy in some parts of the island, not too bad here. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text the studio. It's 166 177. We'll start by joining Christian for the news headlines.
Fastamai. Clinical leads at Manx Care should ensure prison healthcare staff are properly trained to treat seriously ill patients. That's the finding of an independent investigation into a prisoner's death by the Prison and Probation Ombudsman. Political party Liberal Vannin is criticising Treasury's proposed healthcare levy, calling it half-baked and unfair to low earners.
Basically, it's income tax in just another form, which begs the question, why not just increase income tax to help pay for what is obvious to everyone that the health and social care services need more money?
The party says high earners would benefit from a cap, while those on lower incomes bear the brunt. Changes to the frequency of cervical screenings on the island from 3 to 5 years have been made thanks to modernisation and improvement of testing, according to the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association. A primary HPV testing, introduced here in 2018, detects the HPV virus well before it gets a chance to develop into cancer. And fire crews were called to a blaze at the old lime kilns in Scarlet early this morning. Crews spent around 3 hours at the scene. The cause of the fire remains unknown. In the latest international news now, and relatives of a British passenger have confirmed he survived this morning's Air India crash in Ahmedabad. He came down just seconds into its flight to Gatwick, seeming to explode as it hit nearby Doctor's Hostel. NDTV Disha Bagchi says it's remarkable.
There has been one survivor so far. This is a British national who was in fact visiting family in India and in fact was seated on the flight on 11A. He, in fact, walked out of the plane crash site and with very minimal injuries.
242 people, including 53 Britons, were on board. In other news, a judge has warned people in Ballymena that violence will be dealt with robustly. Three teenagers have appeared before magistrates following 3 nights of disorder in parts of Northern Ireland. And Ireland's first 2020 international against the West Indies has been abandoned without any play due to rain. They shared a 1-1 draw in the one-day internationals earlier this summer, but will have to wait until Saturday to meet again. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing, and there is that yellow warning for heavy rain. It came into force at 2 and it's in place until 10. It basically says that rain will be heavy at times. There could be temporary downpours, possibly. They will clear away later in the evening. Those rainfall amounts expected to be around 5 to 15 millimetres, a moderate probability of 15 to 30 in some places. And if those higher values do occur, there will be the risk of localised flooding for a time. So if you let me know what it's like in your areas, I say not too bad looking out of the window here at the moment. The general forecast then, rain continuing to affect the island at times this evening, potentially turning heavy at times. The moderate to fresh east or southeast wind will turn to the southwest as the last of the rain clears through. There might be some coastal mist and low cloud then developing in places, but largely dry overnight, a minimum temperature of around 13. A dull and cloudy start to the day tomorrow with the continued risk of coastal mist and low cloud, but sunny spells will develop in the afternoon. The moderate to fresh southerly winds will fall light later in the day and best temperatures will be around 17. And just looking ahead, further rain arriving overnight into Saturday, that'll clear in the afternoon and the rest of the day will be largely dry. Sunset this evening, 9:51. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 4:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Dillshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode estate, view fillsyourvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 6 minutes past five. Well, Manx Care should ensure that healthcare staff at the Isle of Man prison have the appropriate competencies to the level of care they're providing for acutely ill patients. It's the conclusion from an independent investigation into the death of a prisoner by the Prisons and Probation Ombudsman. Siobhan Fletcher has more details.
John Edward Corran died in hospital of a gastrointestinal hemorrhage on the 12th of November 2024. The 77-year-old was sentenced to 11 years in prison for sex offences back in April 2021. These included the attempted rape of two girls who were aged between 6 and 12 at the time and a number of indecent assaults. At an inquest held on the 24th of April 2025, the coroner concluded that Mr. Corran died of natural causes. However, following his death, an investigation was launched by the PPO, as is procedure. The Ombudsman investigates the deaths of prisoners, young people in detention, residents of approved premises, and detainees in immigration centres due to any cause. In conclusion, the investigator found there were no non-clinical issues relating to Mr. Corran's care. Meanwhile, the clinical reviewer concluded that the clinical care Mr. Corran received at the prison was partially equivalent to what he could have expected to receive in the community. However, she was concerned that there was no clinical governance framework in place to help ensure practice, policies and procedures were evidence-based. As a result, the PPO has recommended that clinical leads within Manx Care should ensure that healthcare staff at the prison have the appropriate competencies to the level of care they're providing for acutely ill or deteriorating patients. The clinical reviewer also made 5 other recommendations which were not related to Mr. Corran's death, but which the head of healthcare will want to address. These were not revealed in the publicly available report.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there. Well, in the past few minutes, we have had a statement from the Department of Home Affairs which says, the department welcomes independent investigation from the PPO into the circumstances surrounding Mr. Corran's death from natural causes. The report, it says, makes no clinical recommendations and suggests no significant non-clinical learnings. The small number of clinical findings are being addressed by the department, working closely with Manx Care. The safety and clinical care of prisoners is one of fundamental priorities for the department. That statement in the last few minutes, you'll be able to find out more at manxradio.com. We have also approached Manx Care for comment as well. Coming up to 8.5 minutes past five. Now, Manx Care's medical director says the health body is trying to establish what adult ADHD services should look like over here. Dr. Chris Stockport admits that while a service exists for younger people, the one for adults is less well developed. He says the awareness of the disorder has made more people come forward, and with the criteria for diagnosis changing, there's been an increase in those with ADHD in adulthood.
We recognise at Manx Care that there is further work to do in terms of ADHD. We do provide an ADHD service for children. Services for adults, similarly to many healthcare services, are less well developed, and in part that reflects the fact that over the course of the last number of years, the diagnoses of ADHD in adulthood have massively increased as the criteria for diagnosis have changed. We are still responding to that.
Why do you think there's been a rise in prevalence or awareness?
The criteria have changed over a number of years in how you diagnose ADHD, and that has captured more people. Alongside that, awareness of ADHD has made more people come forward with symptoms. So it's a little bit, I think, of both. There are a good number of professionals who question whether we've got the balance of that just right. So we're trying to navigate through that and establish what services on the island should look like. I'd say the first person to have a conversation with is your GP, because GPs are really good at recognising conditions like ADHD and the other conditions that sometimes look similar to ADHD but might require a slightly different approach. Those approaches might include medicines, but they might include many other therapies as well. And we know for psychological conditions, as well as for conditions like ADHD, that there are a lot of non-medication treatments that are just as effective or certainly help. So first port of call there is your GP.
That is Manx Care's medical director, Dr. Chris Stockport. He was talking with Andy on Man in Line. You can listen back to that programme in full as a podcast at manxradio.com. You can also watch it if you like as well. It's on our YouTube channel. Just gone 5:10. We're staying with medical matters now, because the interval between cervical screenings is being increased from 3 to 5 years over here. Public Health says more effective testing methods have been used here since 2018. And that means that the HPV virus, which causes 99.7% of cervical cancers, is now detected well before it gets a chance to develop. So what this means is that from the 1st of July, those aged between 24 and 49 who test negative at their next screening will be invited for another routine test after 5 years. Well, Siobhan has been talking with Health Protection Nurse Teresa Thornton and Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association Executive Officer Sandy Denning to find out more.
So in 2018, the Isle of Man changed from cytology testing, which is looking for abnormal cells in the cervix, to primary HPV testing, which is looking for the infection that causes those changes in the cells. We've been doing that successfully since 2018, so we are detecting that change well before it even happens, making it safer. Because of that safety period, we can now safely move to a 5-yearly recall for anyone who is negative of that infection.
The older age group already was every 5 years. So really it's just this 25 to 49 year olds that'll be that difference after their next smear once they've sort of been determined that that's okay.
That's right. From the 1st of July, these changes will come into play. So they'll come in for the next smear as usual, whenever that's due. And if that is negative for the virus and previous tests have also been negative, then their next recall will be 5 years' time.
A lot of the assumptions made in the comments is that it's a cost thing, it's that sort of thing, but actually the core of this is actually no, our methods have improved so much that actually switching to 5 years is perfectly safe.
At the Staywell Clinic, you know, we've been offering cervical screening for over 60 years now, and we feel that this move is a logical step forward for women on the Isle of Man. You know, as Isle of Man Cancer, we endeavour to keep abreast of all the advancements concerning cancer, and I have to say this move makes total sense.
That is the Executive Officer for the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association, Sandy Denning. And before that, Health Protection Nurse Teresa Thornton talking to Siobhan. Much more to that discussion, which you can find in full on the Manx Radio website in the newscast section. 5:13. Well, Liberal Vannon is not holding back when it comes to Treasury's proposed healthcare tax levy, calling it half-baked and unfair. The party says it risks hitting lower earners harder while capping how much the wealthiest contribute. They're also questioning the consistency of government policy and calling for a full rethink of how health services are run. Christian's been talking to the Lib Van chair, Paul Weatherall, and asked if Lib Vannon had a fully costed alternative.
It appears from the consultation document that basically it's income tax in just another form, which begs the question, why not just do what they did in the last budget but one, which was to increase income tax to help pay for what is obvious to everyone, that the health and social care services need more money.
And your call for a return of the responsibility to the Department of Health and Social Care. What evidence is there that that would manage services more effectively than Manx Care?
We've said and there is going to be a review into Manx Care, but we think it should be a very wide review. Manx Care was established because it was felt that the previous system wasn't working. So scrapping Manx Care should be evidence-based and not based on just a gut feeling that things still aren't right. We need to know if things aren't right, and if so, where they aren't right and what the alternatives could be.
But surely
our statement said that if the review shows that the Manx Care format isn't the right way forward, then Manx Care should be abolished and responsibility should revert to the Department for Health and Social Care.
But is that not just transferring the problem back to where it first arose?
Well, exactly. And we're not saying that that's the necessarily the best way forward. We need to know what the problems are, if there are indeed any. There are financial problems, but there's a suggestion that there's also managerial problems and structural problems in the way Manx Care operates. We need to know clearly whether that is the case and refer back to the review that set up Manx Care in the first place.
That is the LibFan chair, Paul Weatherall, talking to Christian. And once again, you can hear that interview in full on the Manx Radio website as a Manx newscast.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing reported on the police pages, which is always good news. We have been told, a few people texting in to say it is raining in various parts of the island, so maybe just keep an eye out for any standing water. All okay down at the airport this evening and at the steam packet as well. The Manxman due into Douglas Harbour just before six, and the Mananin is on its way to Liverpool, getting there at 5:30. For the full roundup of what's happening traffic-wise, just go to the Manx Radio website and click on our traffic and travel hub.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at
Quayside. It's 16 minutes past five. Port Erin commissioners say it'll be taking action after the liquidation of the Rayet Vrada clamping site. The local authority announced on the 23rd of May that the company was closing after 2 years in operation. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
In a statement, Chair Hannah McKenzie said the commissioners will support all reasonable steps made to ensure the clamping site is made safe at the earliest opportunity. She added that the board believes the lease will be disclaimed in due course by the appointed liquidator, which is CKM Consultants. This will allow the commissioners to clear the site of hazards, third-party equipment and unauthorised occupation. Once disclaimed, the lease would revert to Port Erin commissioners, who say it will then be able to put in place security measures including fencing and requiring the site be vacated by people residing there. Mrs. McKenzie also said the decision wasn't taken lightly and the board recognises the impact on certain individuals. She added this has been considered to be the most responsible and necessary course of action, which is within the legislative remit of the local authority and the public interest. In response to requests, the local authority has confirmed it will be engaging with residents living adjacent to the site to understand how they have been affected and to keep them informed as the matter progresses. Mrs. McKenzie also said the board remains committed to working constructively with the liquidator to make sure the site is returned to a safe and orderly condition. She also said the local authority had the best interests of the village at the heart of its decision making. The commissioners have also confirmed further updates will be issued as the situation develops and they believe in transparency.
LDR reporter Emma Draper. It is coming up to 18 minutes past five. Now, questions in the House of Keys ranged far and wide this week, from the performance of the steam packet over TT to Pete on the site of the proposed wind turbine. But Peter Rabbit was also on the agenda, as John Moss explains.
It's been claimed, perhaps unkindly, that politicians will never use two or three words when a couple of dozen will easily do, that they stand guilty of, how shall I put it,
Rabbit.
Before I am noisily rebutted, let me present the evidence. Keys members this week were told that Flopsy, Mopsy and Cottontail were enjoying the facilities offered on the new Castle Rushen playing fields rather too much. Education Minister Daphne Kane.
The new sports fields have been utilised by the school since they were handed over. In terms of maintenance of the pitches, my department is currently in dialogue with the Department of Infrastructure with regards to that.
Can the Minister just explain why several months on now from the handover that the actual maintenance of these playing fields is still under discussion?
Minister to reply.
I wasn't aware of that. The sports fields are being used as far as I'm aware. I'm aware that there is some damage caused by rabbits, if that's what the Honourable Member's referring to, and that was significant during the works and the establishment of the pitches, but perhaps expected in a facility surrounded by agricultural land and hedgerows, active with rabbit burrows. A rabbit fence has been installed around the perimeter of the pictures during these works to seek limited access and the damage, which was successful. It was essential during the establishment of the pictures that any holes dug by the rabbits within the pictures were regularly filled and seeded, which occurred regularly during the establishment of the pictures. I visited the school last year and I was perfectly pleased with the sports pictures, which I believe are in use.
Unfortunately, the rabbits seem to be winning.
A conversation developed about who was in charge of maintaining the new facilities, with asides from members who couldn't resist the chance. Nobody suggested hiring Mr. McGregor or getting the school a Manx cat. We have one, and don't the local rabbits know about it? Members then moved on to the vexed question of the usefulness of government roadshows in producing, perhaps, government policy. Contentious questions asked by the public on whatever. Bugs Bunny.
Rabbit, yep, 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 rabbit, rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit, yep, rabbit, rabbit, bunny, rabbit, jabber, jabber, rabbit, rabbit, yep, yep, rabbit, rabbit, bunny.
John Moss reporting there. You're listening to Update. It is 20 past five. Just want to tell you about a programme coming up after this. It's all about the Hear Us Sounds of the Sea exhibition, which is at the Manx Museum. It was billed as a chance to discover the sounds beneath the surface of the waters surrounding the island and really just gain a new appreciation of the island's rich and varied marine life. So the Hear Us project actually goes much, much deeper into the cultural being of the Isle of Man and its waters, and the influential connections between those who live and work on the island and the life and well-being of the amazing waters that surround it. So there's much more on that with Howard after this programme in a special Island Life. Now, this week marks Loneliness Awareness Week, and we've been talking with a charity which looks to educate people about the impact of loneliness and social isolation. David Gorn is from Live at Home. The charity is hoping to host a seminar later this year to encourage people to have open conversations and also reduce the stigma around this subject.
The biggest issue that arises from this is that people start to lose their self-worth, they lose their self-respect, eventually drift into a situation where they're in a downward spiral as far as both their mental health and their physical health is concerned, which then causes all sorts of problems for them, for their families, for the medical services, who then have to maybe step in and do something about it. This became very apparent during the COVID lockdown, and we had a massive increase in the number of people who were contacting us. One of the things we're working on at the moment is digital inclusion, which can help people quite considerably to overcome their isolation and loneliness, particularly if they've got family maybe who are in Australia, who they don't see very often. But if we can get them to, if you like, to overcome the fear of IT and get them to start using computers, then that can open up a whole new world to them. And it can be a very big issue for somebody to actually pick up the phone, whether they're saying that I'm isolated and lonely, or whether I've got financial difficulties, or whether I've got I haven't got enough food to eat. I think it often takes an awful lot of courage for somebody to actually pick up the phone and actually admit that. If knowing it themselves, but then actually saying out loud, I've got these problems, is difficult.
That's David Gorn from the Manx charity Live at Home discussing loneliness in this Awareness Week. And really interesting what he had to say there about digital inclusion. Well, the leader of Douglas Council says people who are keen, interested and community-minded should really consider joining the local authority. Devon Watson thinks there are lots of misconceptions about what the council does and would encourage people who are thinking of standing to contact current councillors for advice. He's been talking to Emma Draper.
At the end of the day, if you don't put your voice forward, then someone else that you may not agree with is going to end up governing you. So we want to have good people who are tested by elections to come forward and stand and represent the community. And we need this influx of new ideas into the council, have more people participating, more people involved in our local democracy.
What advice would you have for someone who's looking to join or thinking of standing, or maybe they're just on the fence?
I highly recommend reaching out to existing councillors. So get in touch, have a chat with us, and we can sort of run you through the process and how much time it takes and what the role actually involves. But at the same time, I recommend chatting to your neighbours, speak to those around you, talk to your community and see what the people need. And then you can bring those concerns or those ideas that come from your community into the council chamber when you eventually sit in here.
Obviously there's a lot of apathy around local authorities and things, and people are never quite sure what they do and what they're in charge of. So for Douglas in particular, what kinds of things do you manage and do?
So we handle waste collections, street lighting, housing, particularly social housing. We don't handle the roads and we don't handle the pavements, common misconception. But the council does, often if you're coming into contact with small, hyper-local services, these are generally handled by the council. In addition, things like bylaws. So if people have ideas, I highly recommend that they get involved. Even if something doesn't directly deal with the council matter, often being a councillor gives you a voice to lobby MHKs with a bit more impetus.
That is the leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watterson, talking to Emma Draper there. Rob Pritchard is here now with the sport. He's trying to teach me how to do something. It's not working, but we'll just talk sport instead, eh?
All right then, fast am I. Well, let's start with athletics. And Manx athlete David Mullarkey has been selected to represent Great Britain and Northern Ireland at this year's European Athletics Team Championships. The Ireland competitor will contest the men's 5,000 metres track race in what will also be his senior international debut in the team. The 42-strong GB and NI lineup will face off against 15 other nations in 4 days of competition from the 26th to the 29th of June in Madrid in Spain. Closer to home, Mullarkey is the holder of 4 Isle of Man men's track and field records over the 5,000 metres, 3,000 metres, 1 mile and 1,500 metre distances. Separately, he also holds the Manx men's record in road running competition over 10 kilometres. In triathlon, Isle of Man triathlete Will Draper has received a wild card for the latest event on the T100 Triathlon World Tour this weekend. The Manxman is set to contest the Vancouver T100 Triathlon from tomorrow until Sunday. Featuring some of the world's best long-distance athletes, Draper and his fellow competitors will take on a 2km swim, followed by an 80km cycling route and concluding with an 18km run. The series itself features 40 top long-distance participants, 20 male and 20 female, all vying for the chance to become T100 triathlon world champion and earn a share of $9 million on offer during the season. Separately, later this month, Draper is also due to represent Great Britain at the Elite World Triathlon Long Distance Championships in Pontevedra in Spain on the 28th and 29th of June. In motorsport, a fundraiser has been launched, hoping to raise money to help the recovery of TT competitor Mark Parrott. The competitor was struck by a bird during the Superstock TT Race 2 on Friday the 6th of June and suffered reported arm injuries. Well, those behind a GoFundMe campaign set up to assist Parrott says the rider's recovery will require several specialised treatments not typically available through the NHS. As a result, there's aims to generate £5,000 and as of today, just over £1,500 has been raised. And finally, in cycling, Manx rider Becky Story and Team Picnic PostNL have got their campaign at this year's Tour of Switzerland underway on the Women's World Tour. Well, during this afternoon's opening phase, a near 97km route in and around Gstaad, Story's team just missed out on a top 10 finish as her teammate Eleonora Chiboko crossed the line in 11th. Story herself came home in 43rd, just over 7.5 minutes behind the stage winner.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Well, that is all from Update tonight. Thank you so much for your company. Coming up next, as I mentioned earlier, there is an Island Life special. It's with Howard Kane, and it's all about the Hear Us Sounds of the Sea exhibition that's on at the Manx Museum. And this is a journey into those hidden sounds of the island's surrounding waters. It's a fascinating programme, so do stay tuned for that. Afterwards, it'll be Chris Kinney here with Greatest Hits, another fascinating programme from 6pm. Maurice Powell brings you A Little Light Music from 9, and Rhiann has After Hours for you from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Don't get too wet if you're out there in the rain, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.